Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, coming up on 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 24th. In Wisconsin, if you're convicted of a felony, you lose your right to vote while you are in prison or while you are under state supervision on parole or on probation. Once you're out of prison and once you're off probation or parole, then you can cast a ballot. My guest lawmaker this hour wants to change the law. He is the former chief elections officer for Dane County and currently a Democratic state representative from Madison. He says that felons in Wisconsin should be given back their right to vote as soon as they are released from prison. We'll talk with him about this bill and wonder what you think about it and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. Once felons have served their prison time in Wisconsin, should they be able to vote? That's the question. And our guest is Joe Parisi, Democratic State Representative from Madison. And he was Dane County's Chief Elections Officer for 8 years prior to this. He introduced a proposal to let felons vote in Wisconsin once they have served their time. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why do you think we ought to do this in Wisconsin?
Well, as you stated, we currently allow felons to vote, former felons to vote, once they've served their time, including their probation and parole. The problem we have, there are two issues with this, from an election administration standpoint and from a corrections standpoint. First, from the elections administration standpoint, this is very labor-intensive and cost-intensive. It's not as simple as just producing a little list with the click of a few keystrokes on a computer. What happens is the Department of Corrections, which does not have a centralized list of felons who are on probation or parole, has to get lists from around the state from different institutions, get that information to the state elections board before every election. The elections board has to go through a process of matching that list with their list of 3.3 million voters in our state. That information then has to be sent down to the counties, which has to get that information out to the municipalities, which has to get that information down to the volunteer poll workers who are stuck with enforcing this policy on Election Day. It's very resource-intensive, labor-intensive. It costs the state and our municipalities a lot of money and a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And so if you do a cost-benefit analysis of this policy, there's a lot of cost involved, and I don't see much benefit to this.
Yeah, and don't we, it's confusing too, don't we have some people, I just read about a woman in prison who voted when she was on probation or parole. She was convicted of a felony, and now she's in jail because she voted illegally.
Yes, we've made voting illegal for about 70,000 citizens in our state, and as you stated, there's at least one person in jail and other charges pending on other people who could spend up to 3.5 years in prison for the act of voting. And what happens in many of these cases, this person, for example, was on probation, didn't know that she wasn't allowed to vote. This was the first time she'd cast a ballot. She went to a rally before the last presidential election, decided to participate in society, which is what we urge people to do, went down to the clerk's office, registered to vote, cast an absentee ballot. She was so excited about it that she told her parole officer, "Hey, I just cast a ballot and I'm going to work at the polls." And the parole officer said, "Well, actually, you can't do that." And charges were pressed, and now this person's in prison. And I just think that's a terrible waste of state time and resources, and it's not accomplishing anything positive. We're putting this woman in prison for the act of voting.
Yeah, you said that the labor and cost of this and the confusion of it is one reason to get rid of the law. What's the other?
When you look at it from a standpoint of corrections policy, most people who go to prison are going to get out. And what's vital when someone returns to society is that we do everything we can to reintegrate them into society, to make them feel that they have a stake in our society, that they're part of our community. And voting is one tool that we can use to make them feel that they're part of our community rather than apart from their community. We need to make people feel less alienated, make them feel that they have a stake in our community so that they'll be less likely to reoffend. Because our goal, once people are out of prison, is to keep them out of prison, to keep them from reoffending, and to get them involved in our community. It saves tax dollars, it makes us safer, and it leads to more productive lives for people who have been in trouble in the past.
Yeah. What about the argument that the felon should completely serve his or her time before they get this right to vote back?
One of the critical points in rehabilitating a person is the minute they leave incarceration. It's a very tricky, that's where a lot of people fall through the cracks. A lot of people end up getting into places where they reoffend. They have trouble finding housing, they have trouble finding jobs, they feel alienated from society. You know, we have to ask ourselves a basic question when it comes to corrections policy. Do we want to sound tough or do we want to solve problems? I would argue that we want to solve problems, and our goal is to reintegrate these people so they don't offend. We'll all be safer, and we'll save a lot of taxpayer dollars that way.
We will welcome your calls for Joe Parisi, Democratic State Representative from Madison. He was also Dane County's Chief Election Officer. Knows about how elections are run. He recently introduced a proposal to let felons vote in Wisconsin once they have served their prison time. Right now, the right to vote is not restored until after a prisoner has served probation or parole as well. Joe Parisi introducing a bill to change state law to allow the felon to vote as soon as the felon is done serving prison time. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Hi, this is Larry Mueller, and if you're like me, you're curious about what's going on around you. Each day after 11, we examine some facet of your life, health and wealth, and ask questions about issues that concern you. Join in with your questions and observations here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 24th. Hoping you'll stay with us all day long if you can. According to Ben Maron's guess after 5 this afternoon, Al Gore is finally saying what he believes in, the environment, and people are listening. And Ben will talk with his guest about whether or not Al Gore will run for president in 2008. That's coming up after 5. We're talking with Joe Parisi. He's a Democratic state representative from Madison. He's introduced a bill in the state legislature that would change state law and let felons vote in Wisconsin once they have served their prison time. Current law says that a felon on parole or probation also cannot vote. Joe Parisi says allow the felon to vote in Wisconsin as soon as they are released from prison. And we got lots of callers here. Kathy in East Troy. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. First, I want to make it clear that I am not speaking for the Department of Corrections, although I work for them.
Okay.
I wholeheartedly agree with the senator. One of my jobs is to see to it that people obey the law and begin reintegrating into the community. They have a much better chance of reintegrating if they have a vested interest in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see someone who's incarcerated voting because that tends to skew local elections. However, the cost involved for the Department of Corrections and the municipalities and checking, tracing down, et cetera, somebody who is doing nothing to harm other members of the community, but is simply using citizenship rights, I think it's foolish, and I'm very glad this is being introduced, and if there's anything that I can do to help support it, I will do so.
Well, thank you for calling, Kathy. Representative Parisi, do you think Kathy speaks for the Department of Corrections?
Yeah. Well, I don't speak for the Department of Corrections. I don't mm-hmm. know that they have an official position on this. I do know that a lot of people who are involved in corrections, be it in the corrections department or people who work with former offenders, echo what Kathy had to say. It's vital that people feel they have a stake in their community once they're released. You know, as I said, most people are released from prison. If someone moves in next door to me who's someone who's been incarcerated in the past, I want it to be someone who is committed to their community, feels they have a stake in their community, and wants to be involved, rather than someone who feels shunned and alienated. I think that sets up a much more dangerous situation.
Next, we go to Amy in Milwaukee. Hi, Amy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. It's a very interesting topic. I'm on my way to work. I'm a Milwaukee public school teacher. And I completely agree with the senator, and it's so nice to hear a voice of reason. I'm very concerned, too, because there's an entire population that's disenfranchised based on, you know, their economic status as well, because we're prosecuting people who may not have fair representation. And so when people get out, they should have all of their rights, and especially the right to vote, reinstated. I think it's so important. I have friends who have served time and still are on paper, as they say, and they really want to vote, and they're young people. And they it just is another way of alienating a certain population. And I feel it's in the best interest of society as well. And I'm just so happy that the senator is taking this cause on.
Everybody wants to call you Senator, Representative Parisi.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. These are the kind of comments that I hear over and over. I think it's important to remember also there are people who are eligible to vote, people who have served their probation and parole, who are former felons, who still do not vote because there's so much confusion about this law, and who think that they might get in trouble if they vote. So not only are we not allowing people who are out of prison to vote, who are still on paper, but there are people whose rights have been restored under current law who stay away from the polls for fear that they may be committing some crime that's going to land them back in prison.
You're also concerned that this disproportionately affects African Americans in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, the state of Wisconsin has the highest per capita incarceration rate of African Americans in the country. And so any laws that we have that are directly pointed toward people with felony convictions are going to disproportionately affect African Americans. So what you're doing is you're disenfranchising an inordinate amount of African Americans in the population.
Well, so far, our callers are agreeing with you. Let me bring up what State Representative Scott Souter, a Republican from Abbotsford, has to say about your bill. He blasted the proposal this week, it
yes,
says
he did.
Here. And it says that you want to allow murderers, rapists, and thieves the ability to vote upon leaving prison on the day they walk out of prison. This is reckless and irresponsible. And this shows a clear difference between Madison's liberal Democrats and Assembly Republicans who are working to restore accountability in our voting systems. What's your response to Representative Souter?
Well, I'm glad that he brought up the points he did, because this is a very this is a controversial bill among certain populations, especially within this building. And I think he brings up points that need to be addressed. First of all, as I stated earlier, most people who go to prison, except the worst murderers, people like that, do get out. And so we have to come back to the basic question that I posed earlier. Is our goal to sound tough or to solve problems? I think our goal should be to solve problems. And when these people are released from prison, it is our responsibility as lawmakers to do everything in our power to make sure they do not reoffend. And reintegrating a person back into society is one of the most effective tools that we have to ensure that they don't reoffend. So, again, do you want to talk tough or do you want to solve problems? I want to solve problems.
Some say that Representative Souter didn't specifically say this in his news release, but that Democrats would like this change because this would benefit Democrats at the ballot box, because these felons would most likely be voting for Democratic candidates.
I think that's typical insider capital thinking. If you look at the latest news, a couple of weeks ago, Florida's Republican governor moved Florida closer to a system in which it's easier for former felons to vote. So this issue around the country crosses partisan lines. I have no idea how someone who is currently unable to vote would vote if they were able to. This has to do with, as I stated at the beginning of the interview, with election administration and corrections. And I don't think it helps anyone for us to go down a road of either some of the names that were being called in the earlier press release, or making accusations about people's motives being partisan. I think this is a solid proposal. I think there are very strong policy arguments in favor of it, and I think there's public support for it, as we've heard from a couple of our callers.
And here's another one, Roger in Lamira. Hi, Roger. You're on the air.
Okay. Thanks a lot for taking my call. I'm in favor of this law, but I'm also in favor of letting individuals that are in jail, whether they're Republican convicts or Democratic convicts or independent convicts, I'm in favor of letting them vote. Let's allow them the rights that we should give all citizens, whether they're convicted or not, the right to vote on every election, including local elections. Let's make them part of the system, electoral system, even while they're in prison and trying to be reformed in prison. I think we should go farther than what you're proposing. Thank you.
Oh, you want to react to that, Representative Parisi?
Sure. One step at a time. Mm-hmm. This is going to be, as you can tell by the opposition we've heard from the Assembly Republicans, this is going to be an uphill battle. But I think this is a conversation we need to have. And when I say this, I'm talking about my proposal to allow people to vote upon release from prison. So one step at a time. I want to focus on this first. I'm especially concerned about that critical time when people are released from prison, when they're in the most vulnerable stage for ending up back in prison. And what we want to do is prevent that, and we want to make it easier for our state employees and people who are using our state tax dollars to use those resources on programs that are really going to help us, rather than huge bureaucratic programs like the one we have now that provides us very little benefit.
Yeah. While Representative Souter sent out a news release the other day critical of your proposal, Representative Tamara Grigsby, a Democrat from Milwaukee, praised the proposal, much for the reasons that you stated about trying to that people are more connected to their communities, and if they're voting, they're less likely to fall back into a life of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We wonder what you think about this bill that our guest has introduced in the state legislature that would allow felons in Wisconsin to vote again once they are released from prison. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Joe Parisi is a Democratic state representative from Madison, and he is also a former Dane County clerk, where he was the chief elections officer for Dane County. And he says that this will reduce recidivism, this will be better for Wisconsin, and better for these felons. And we wonder what you think and what questions you have for him. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will get to more of your calls. Coming up after 8 o'clock this morning, we are going to be talking with the author of a book that has a naughty word in the title. It's about jerks and bullies and tyrants and mean people in the workplace. And his book is The No A-Hole Rule. And we will talk about that coming up after 8 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Thursday, May the 24th. Should someone convicted of a felony in Wisconsin be able to vote once he or she is released from prison? We're talking with a state legislator who has introduced a bill that would allow this. Currently, someone convicted of a felony in Wisconsin cannot vote until he or she is also released from parole or probation. What do you think of this idea? Should felons be able to vote once they are released from incarceration? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is Joe Parisi. He is a Democratic state representative from Madison. He is also, or was formerly, Dane County's chief elections officer for 8 years prior to that. And our next caller is Emily in Platteville. Hi, Emily, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, what else is being done to rehabilitate these people? Because I understand when you get in the community, there's got to be something else we're doing besides letting them vote.
Now, do you think they should be allowed to vote, Emily, as if they're on parole or probation?
I don't think so. I guess I don't know what rehabilitation has been done while they're in prison or jail, or what's being done besides letting them vote once they get out to help them feel more comfortable in the community.
Yeah, I guess she doubts that just letting a former convicted felon, Joe Parisi, vote is going to really do that much in terms of rehabilitation.
Well, as far as it being the whole solution, she's absolutely right. And to answer her question about what's being done, the simple answer is not enough. And, you know, Joy, I'll let you decide how much, you know, we want to get into talking about rehabilitating people once they're transitioning out of prison. I'm also the ranking Democrat on the Assembly Corrections Committee, and the point at which a person is released is critical. And what's critical is helping that person find housing, employment, education, mental health services, AOTA services, etc. And one of the problems that we're facing, and what I believe contributes to recidivism in our state, is that, you know, over the last decade or two, there's just been this rush to see who can sound tougher on crime. We had three strikes, you're out, two strikes, you're out, mandatory minimum sentences, taking the power away from judges to make decisions about sentencing because the legislature wanted to micromanage that. And what we've done is that the legislature has taken away a lot of the resources that are critical for rehabilitating a person and ensuring that they stay out of prison once they're out. So, Emily, you make a great point, and I agree with you. This is not a panacea, but I do believe it is an important piece of the overall picture.
Richard in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Morning.
My comment's really brief and basic. While I'm on probation right now, I don't get to wait until I'm done with probation to pay my property taxes or my income taxes or my sales taxes. Mm-hmm. I feel that I should have a say in how those taxes are spent, just like anyone else.
Ah, yeah. Representative Parisi.
Well, I think here you have an example of someone who, I don't know his circumstances, but he's on probation, and from the sound of his voice, it sounds like he wants to be taking part in this community. He wants to be a productive member of the community. He's working, he's paying taxes, and he wants to get out there and exercise his right to vote. And I say and you can also tell there was some anger in his voice because he's not allowed to vote. Now, I say take that energy and channel it in a positive way. Let this person vote. Let this person become involved in politics, whether he's Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, instead of building the resentment that I seem to hear in his voice and making him feel angry and making him feel more alienated toward this society. Let's bring him back in. Let's make him feel he has a stake in our community, and hopefully that'll make him less apt to reoffend.
Thanks, Richard, for the call. Robert in Egg Harbor. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Representative. I am very much in favor of your efforts to reintegrate individuals who have already put in their time. I think there are basically, in my view, three important criteria for a successful reintegration into community, and this would help in that process. The probationer has to stay away from drugs and alcohol. He has to be integrated by good friends, the right friends, and not get involved in the criminal element, and family certainly can help in that role. Also, if he can get a job. That first 6 months that you spoke of, Representative Parisi, I think is very, very critical. And if your plan would go forward, it would, I think, be a very positive effort in reintegrating him into the community. There is altogether too much recidivism, and one of the problems of probation and is the fact that it has not been as successful as Wisconsin has hoped that it would be. And we are leaders in the United States solving this type of problem, and I think this is a very positive step.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. Sounds like you've done some work in this area, or know quite a bit about it. Representative Parisi?
Thank you, and thank you, Robert. I think Robert makes a good point. You know, let's look at this from the standpoint of someone who's on parole. And say you're a parole agent, and you have someone who, for the past 6 months, the past year, has done everything right. They got housing, they're getting some schooling, they're working a job, paying taxes. An election comes along, they vote, not knowing that they're not allowed to vote, and you have to revoke this person's parole and send them to prison for 3 years. Now, there is not one level on which that policy makes sense. We're paying $27,000 a year to incarcerate a person. This person is not working and paying taxes anymore. We're spending state resources to keep track of this and track this person down. I just don't see this as sane policy on any level.
Yeah. Joe from La Crosse in an email says, I think the best way to get people to act like people is to treat them like people. Prosecuting that woman on parole for voting was obscene. I support this proposal 100%. Was this proposal prompted by that case of the woman sent to prison for voting while on parole?
No, actually, I introduced this proposal during the last session. It just didn't get as much attention. I think the timing of this, of my introduction of it this year, is bringing more attention to it just because I happened to introduce it, you know, shortly after that story came out. You know what's encouraging to me, Joy? While this is not a scientific survey, we've talked to 7 people now, and each one of these people have felt that this is a good idea. Now, these are real people out in the community. What happens in this building, and by this building I mean the state capitol, is there are a lot of people who are afraid of sounding soft on crime. Because there's kind of a tunnel vision in here, I think, that people think that if you talk about smart, logical policy that takes a little while to explain, that no one's going to listen. So I would encourage people who support this to contact their legislators and let them know that they think this is a good idea, that these slogans that we've been using in the past to address our corrections issues simply aren't working, and we have to take a logical look at how we're dealing with corrections in this state.
Judy in Madison is with us now. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Yes, I've been interested. I've never called in on one of these shows before, but this morning this just triggered me. You know, we live in a civilized society. We came up with laws and rules, and we said, you do this crime, you're going to have to stay in prison for this length of time. That was supposed to be the end of their sentence. Time served should bring them back straight and even with the rest of us. They should be full citizens, just like we are, be able to vote. And I think getting that mentality, the people as neighbors, you know, stop thinking of these people as criminals or ex-convicts and put them right on the same playing ground with yourself, they will have chances for housing and employment and being accepted back into society instead of being treated as horrible people. They're people who made a mistake.
Yeah,
they should have that opportunity to be full again.
And what about the Representative Parisi, those who say that they haven't served their time completely yet, they have not finished the parole or probation?
Well, I would come back to looking at what the final goal of our correctional policy is. And in my view, it's two-part. There's punishment. And believe me, I've toured a number of our state prisons, and being in a state prison is a severe punishment. So there's the punishment aspect, which is being in prison. Then there's the rehabilitation aspect, which I believe needs to start within the prisons with alcohol and drug treatment, education, working on life skills so that person can transition back into society. But corrections, by definition, is about correcting behavior. And I believe it's most effective to start correcting that behavior immediately upon release and integrating these people back into society, because our main goal is to keep our citizens safe. And I believe that once a person feels that they're part of society, we're all going to be safer, and they're going to have a better shot at staying out of prison and staying crime-free.
Our guest is State Representative Joe Parisi, a Democrat from Madison, who has introduced a bill that would change state law to give felons the right to vote once they are released from prison. or jail. It would rewrite current law that says that felons cannot vote until they are no longer supervised by the state on parole or on probation. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we'll talk with a guest who will help us survive a workplace where there are bullies or tyrants or egomaniacs and other naughty words. We'll talk with our guest about that coming up after 8 o'clock. Gloria in Milwaukee is our next caller. Hi, Gloria. You're
on
the air.
Good morning. I am so happy this man is to be congratulated over and over. Now, our motto in this state is forward. Let's go forward with that. Let's allow these people that need licenses to carry on their practices or their professions to get those licenses back. Also, every one of these people is seen by a psychiatrist. If you have a 0-1 rating, which means probably nothing happened, but the district attorney got you in anyhow, let's get those people off the list in 2 years. Those that have a rating of 1-2, let's get them off the list in 4 years. Also,
yeah.
And this,
you're losing me a little bit, Gloria, okay. But you're talking about other rules on felons that don't let them get their license back
right.
And that kind of thing? Yeah. Okay.
And this list, you know, is no other crime goes on a list for life.
Yeah.
And according to the psychiatric ratings, why can't we have them work their way off the list in a number of years?
Yeah. Well, it's a different issue, Representative Parisi, but you want to comment briefly on that?
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, Joy, I think it speaks to the question of how do we want to spend our tax dollars in this state? Now, as we talked about earlier, we're currently spending approximately $27,000 a year to incarcerate someone for the crime of voting. Someone who was doing fine, who voted, who didn't know she wasn't supposed to vote. Now, as a taxpayer, do you want to be spending $27,000 a year to keep this person in prison, or would you rather have us using that money to help make your children's college more affordable, or to hire more firefighters or police officers, or to lower your taxes? You know, it's a basic question of, you know, what we do with the resources we have.
Well, Gloria says we should move forward with this. How likely is it that this will move forward in the direction you want to see it go in the state assembly?
I'm in the state assembly, as you said, which is controlled by the Republicans right now. And there are certain Republicans who oppose this bill very much. It somewhat depends on which committee it goes to. During the last session, I did get a public hearing on the bill, but I was not given a vote on the bill. As soon as we know what committee it's referred to, I'm going to push for a hearing, and hopefully this bill can move forward. And even if it doesn't in this session, I think it's important that this discussion has begun, because too often we hear slogans. We have governing by slogans. And I think it's time that we take some time and really take a look at these issues and look at them in a logical, slowed down way. And instead of just getting out there and saying, I'm tough on crime, let's be smart on crime. Let's be logical. So I thank you for having me today. I'm really glad we can have this discussion, and I hope this becomes part of the discussion about how we deal with voting and how we deal with corrections in our state.
And we have tons more callers that most of them are agreeing with you. It's not like I'm trying to stir the pot here, but I'm wondering if anybody's out there that has a question about this or doesn't think this is a good idea. I'd like to know why you don't think it's a good idea. D in Sheboygan. Hi, you're on the air.
Several years ago, a group of us women were sworn in as voting registrars, and it occurred to me that the people in jail under a misdemeanor were eligible to vote. So we registered, it wasn't a great number, but we registered people in jail under misdemeanors. And since your bill says they have to be out of jail, does this take away the privilege of voting for people in jail under misdemeanors?
This doesn't deal with people with misdemeanor offenses at all. This is strictly to the people who have felony convictions who now are not allowed to vote. And I think Dee brings up an interesting point, too. She said she did some voter registration. And there are also the people, as we talked about at the beginning of the many people who are involved in this process, the people who are poll workers, and I worked with these people a lot when I was the county clerk in Dane County,
they have a hard job. These people are volunteers. They might get a little stipend. It's difficult to attract people to come to work at the polls as poll workers. There are chronic shortages. So now what we're doing with this new law is we're giving them an additional duty, and that is to check the voter list against names of felons. And if a person shows up in front of them and their name is on the list, this volunteer poll worker is forced with has to enforce this law now. And say you have two people with the same name, two John Smiths, and one of them is on the list, and John Smith comes up and you tell the person that he can't vote because he's a felon, and he says, no, I'm not. Then you have a confrontation. You have a bigger problem with longer lines. That person has to have a discussion. From an administrative standpoint, this is certainly bordering on a nightmare.
Dan in Madison is with us now. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hello, Mr. Parisi.
Hi.
Yeah, you know, with the people coming out and having felons and being able to vote, I'm all for that. But isn't most of the people in prison in there for things like drugs and marijuana and low-level crimes like that that they're considering felons? And if they legalized marijuana or made their problem a health problem instead of a federal crime, wouldn't it seem like?
Yeah, we're not going to switch our discussion over to whether we should legalize drugs or not, or make it less of a crime. But the point is that a lot of these people convicted of felonies are convicted of maybe low-level crimes and should be allowed to vote once they're released from prison, Representative Parisi?
That's true. A lot of people are. I mean, pirating cable television is a felony. Adultery is a felony. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of crimes. I mean, not everyone in prison is an axe murderer, and most of the people who are in prison get out. And so, you know, it's a basic question of what we want our society to look like and how we want it to function. And do we want to demonize these people forever and back them into a corner so that they're more likely to reoffend? Or do we want to say to them, hey, we want you to be productive members of society. We want you to get a job. We want you to pay taxes. We want you to take part in the democratic process. And we don't want you to reoffend.
Well, even with my plea, no one has called in who disapproves of this idea, Representative Parisi. We did get a call from Randy in Waukesha, who I think wanted to be anonymous in terms of being on the air, who says he was convicted of a felony, but he only served probation, apparently not a prison time. And he says he was never told that he could vote after his probation was over, and he completely supports your proposal. So confusion, there's someone who maybe didn't even know until today that he could vote once his probation was over.
Yeah, and we hear many stories like that.
Yeah. Andre in Antigo, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. It seems to me that there may be a constitutional issue here, and that would be taxation without representation. Many people on probation and even people in prison work full-time jobs, and they're taxed on that income. They also make purchases, and they're taxed on. They pay a sales tax on those, and it would seem that they have no representation because they're not able to vote for people to represent them, but yet they still have to pay the taxes.
Representative Parisi?
An interesting point. I'm not a constitutional scholar or attorney, but I think that's an interesting point if someone wanted to look into that. And again, as he said, people are paying taxes, and this comes down to how do we want to spend those taxes? Do we want to spend those taxes requiring the elections board and parole officers and the Department of Corrections to keep track of these people who can and can't vote for that time that they're on probation or parole? Or do we want to use those resources and those tax dollars for more important things like police protection, fire protection, etc.?
And you say a similar law was put into place recently in Florida at the urging of the Republican governor of Florida?
Yeah, they're moving towards this. What they did is, it's my understanding that they had once you're a felon that you can never vote unless you're granted clemency by their clemency board.
Wow.
And he issued an executive order basically telling the clemency board to restore that right to everyone. So again, this isn't and it shouldn't be a partisan issue. I mean, we have Democrats, we have Republicans who think this is a good idea. You know, if you look at a fiscally
fiscally conservative Republican from Florida sees that, you know, this doesn't really make sense fiscally either.
Yeah. In our final minute, then, you want to sum up your side of this issue? It's for multiple reasons why you think this is a good idea to change state law?
Yeah. From an administrative standpoint, it makes no sense. It's highly inefficient. It's bureaucratic. We're really not getting a good bang for the buck. From a corrections point of view, the most vital thing that we have to do when someone's released from prison is to work on reintegrating them back into society and making them feel like they have a stake in our society. And that way, they'll be less likely to reoffend, we'll all be safer, and we'll save tax dollars.
Well, if our callers were in the State Assembly, Representative Parisi, your proposal would be sailing through today.
I appreciate that.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Representative Joe Parisi, a Democratic state representative from Madison. He was Dane County's clerk for about 8 years prior to serving in the legislature, where he was Dane County's chief elections officer. He introduced this proposal to let felons vote in Wisconsin once they have served their prison time. We thank him for being with us, and we thank you for your time as well. Thanks to Karen Prager and to Christina Taylor for on-air production. Leo Duran produced this program. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store 1-800-747-7444. 1-800-747-7444. That's the number for the radio store. You can also listen to any of our talk shows online. They're all archived on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.